Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. After the Jews had been in Egypt for more than 400 years, it almost certainly was difficult for them to imagine they would ever be delivered. So when God called Moses to be the deliverer, Moses knew the Israelites would not be easy to convince. He even told the Lord, as if the Lord did not know, "They will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord has not appeared unto you." Exodus 4:1. So God gave Moses three miracles to convince the Israelites, and probably Moses as well, that God had truly called Moses to be the leader. The first miracle was the transformation of a rod to a serpent, and then the serpent back to the rod. The second miracle involved leprosy. God told Moses to put his hand into his bosom. When he drew his hand out, it was white with leprosy. Then God instructed him to put his hand back into his bosom. When he pulled his hand out, it was like the rest of his flesh. Exodus 4:2-7. But what if the Jews did not believe either sign? What else could Moses do to convince them? God told Moses he would give him a third sign to convince the Jews of Moses' authority. "And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto your voice, that you shall take the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water that you take out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land." Exodus 4:9. We have no way of knowing how many of the Jews believed the signs God had given. Apparently, many of them did, since they usually followed the leadership of Moses. But those who did not believe were without excuse. God had given them every opportunity to know of His approval of Moses. If the Israelites refused to honor Moses by following his lead, it was their fault, not God's. While the purpose of these miracles was emphasized in Exodus 4, that is, that the Israelites might believe that the God of their fathers had appeared unto Moses, there almost certainly was another purpose: to give Moses the courage to fulfill his responsibilities. He did not have to worry about his commission. God had given him every proof he needed that he indeed was God's anointed leader for the Israelites. And although Moses had his faults like the rest of the human family, he was an outstanding leader and lawgiver. Several times the New Testament refers to the Old Testament as the law of Moses. The Apostle John wrote, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." John 1:17. It is significant that Jesus Christ gave his wholehearted endorsement to the law of Moses, to the prophets, and to the Psalms. Luke 24:44. I would like to say, in passing, that Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, usually called the Pentateuch. I am fully aware that most liberal scholars dispute that fact, but none of the Bible writers did. Those five books, especially the book of Genesis, serve as the very foundation of the rest of the Old Testament and of the New. It simply is not possible for one to be a good student of the New Testament without being conversant with the Old Testament. Although the Old Testament does not furnish us with the information we must have to become Christian and to worship God under the New Covenant, it is very vital to our understanding of the will of God. So I urge you to study the Old Testament as a basis for knowing the will of God as revealed in the Gospel. But it is the Gospel, and not the law of Moses, that is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1:16. Paul informs his readers, both in Romans and in Galatians, that we cannot be justified by the law of Moses. But he never discourages our reading and knowing the Old Testament. He actually does the opposite. "Whatsoever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Romans 15:4. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.